Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Vav Amen Aleph. At the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid says the Mishnah Chavite Kain Gadol. As we've discussed many times in our Shurim, the Torah Kedusha tells the Kain Gadol to bring Chavite Kain Gadol, to bring a Karban Mincha every day made of an Asira Sa'efa Soilus. Machtzitzoy ba'boika, machtzitzoy ba'erev. Half was brought in the morning, half in the afternoon. Torah Kedusha says, al machas v'shemen te'osam, it should be made in a frying pan, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim. Machloikas Rambam and Ravid doesn't mean six were brought in the morning and six were brought in the afternoon. It doesn't mean that there were half of all 12 were brought in the morning and half of all 12 were brought in the afternoon. The preparation of and the baking of all of this was done inside the Azara. And the reason is because even though the flour is done in a keli, which we said in our previous year was a kli yavish, which is not niskadish, but there are two types of kelim. There's a keli of an isorin, which we said is not kadosh, and therefore that kavod could be done outside the azara. But here we use kelim of a chatzi isorin, and a keli of a chatzi isorin is kadosh, and therefore it has to be done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Others have a problem with that pshat, because if it's a kli yavish and it doesn't have kedusha, it not make the difference if it's used for a isorin or a chatzi isorin. And that's why they suggest that the issue is that they had oil, and oil is a liquid, and therefore the oil that's a liquid, that oil has kedusha, and because it was in a kli lach, that's why all of this had to be done inside the Azara. And the halachas is that all of these types of avoda, doiches or Shabbos, may be done even on Shabbos. However, tchinos of our kadosan, the grinding and sifting of the flour, and a doiches or Shabbos may not be done on Shabbos. And the answer and the explanation is that once we made the chavitim and these kelim, so the chavitim made in the kelim become kadosh. And if they're going to be left overnight, that means if we were to prepare it on the day before, on Friday for the Shabbos chavitim, we become possible with lina over Friday night. However, preparing the flour, which doesn't have to be done on Shabbos, since it doesn't have to be done on Shabbos, the halacha is we can't be mechal Shabbos and do it before Shabbos. This is the same halacha that we have with a bris milah. A child whose bris milah, the 8th day falls on Shabbos, so although the actual bris overrides Shabbos, preparations for the bris, the bringing the knife, etc., may not be done, must be done before Shabbos. Similarly, any preparation that they need to have to heal the child should all be prepared from before Shabbos. If the medications that are needed for after the bris were not made before Shabbos, then you would not be allowed to make the bris on Shabbos, because those were things that should have been done before Shabbos. The Ramban, however, says that in those circumstances, the bris may be performed on Shabbos. Since the bris, says the Ramban, could be performed without the medicine, so we're doing the bris as we're supposed to. Now, the child, unfortunately, is in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Now that the child is in that situation, so then the halacha is we have to do whatever we have to do, because pikuach nefesh is doichu Shabbos. The Rishalmi discusses a case: if somebody could do something to prepare a Shabbos chavitin, heating the water only after the morning of Shabbos, which is when the time for bringing the carbon chavitim arrived, or perhaps It can be done even before daybreak, even before the Zman for the Chavitim. Says the Nezer Kodesh, based on the Shishami, why does the Ramban only allow to prepare the medicine after the bris, if, as the Yerushalmi says, preparation for the chavitim is permitted even before daybreak, even though it's before the zman of the chavitim, so suggests the Nezer HaKodesh, it should be allowed to prepare the baby's medicine before the bris, even though they're not necessary until after the bris. A similar question comes up regarding a psak of the Noda Behuda. The halach is that the Moel and Sandik may take a haircut if there's a bris, even though it's during the 3 weeks. Says the Noda Behuda that this haircut that we're allowing to be taken during the 3 weeks should only be on the day of the bris, but not on the night of the bris. And he asks that according to Rishalmi, once it's that day, even though we can't do the bris till the next morning, we should already be allowed to take the haircut. In answer to this question, the Tzin Yerushalayim differentiates between a haircut, which is done only in honor of the bris, and that which is actually necessary to prepare the chavitim. Something which is absolutely essential to today's mitzvah could be done even before the time of the mitzvah. But something which is not absolutely necessary to today's mitzvah, the haircut, or even the other preparation, even the medicine, which right now is not part of the bris, it only comes up after the bris, can only be done after the bris. Klal Amar Bekiva, and Bekiva says this rule that we just discussed, the kosha afshel asos of Shabbos, anything that can be done from before Shabbos, ein adoichos of Shabbos, may not be done on Shabbos, the she'afshel asos of Shabbos, but anything that can't be done from before Shabbos, the halacha is doichus Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, kolam nachas sheyesh be masa kli, anything, any avoida that has to be done with a keli, has to be done b'fnim. If it's done b'fnim, ain't be masa kli, but anything that doesn't require a kli sharis, the halacha is to do it b'chutz. Or shtei lechem. Continue the Mishnah to discuss the Shtei Lechem and discuss the dimensions of the Shtei Lechem. It says the Mishnah Shtei Lechem, Orkon Shevet Tvachim, their length was 7 Tvachim, Verachman Arbet Tvachim, their width was 4 Tvachim, Verkarnoseim. They used to have corners on each of the four corners of the Lechem upon them that looked like horns that are protruding from them. That was Arba Etzbaos. That took up four Mitzbaos. That's the Pshat that Rashi suggests. The Rambam says that Karnaseim refers to the width. The Rambam says that it's the one, the Mishnah says the word the Karnaseim, it's talking about the width, how wide, how deep each Lechem HaParim was. Lechem, each day of Lechem was. Continues the Mishnah, Lechem Aponim, when we speak about the Lechem Aponim, Arkan Asar Tvachim, the length was 10 Tvachim, Rochman Chamish Tvachim, the width was 5 Tvachim, Kanoisov, the corners were Shevet Setzbois, Rudaimer, Ruda says, Shleitita, in order that one should not get confused, what were the proper dimensions? The dimensions of the Lechem, of the Shtei Lechem, was Zedad, Zayin Tfachim Orkom, Dalet Tfachim Rochbom, Dalet Etzbos Karnaseim, and to remember the dimensions of the Lechem Aponim, it was Yahaz, Yur Arkoi, Hey Rochboi, and Zayin Karnoisov. Many Mepharshim asked the question, what is the point of these Simonim? When we had the point of making a Simon is that it should be easy for us to remember. Here, these abbreviations that Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting, Zarad, Yahaz, don't really have much meaning. So he says that the simple pshat is that there's a difference, the one is bigger and one is smaller. So even though the actual simonim that are being suggested, those numbers themselves don't have much meaning. They have meaning as far as that we should remember which is a bigger bread and which is a smaller bread. The Tiferes Yisrael says Hazdad Zadad represents Zadad. Dad is a breast. And what it means is that the Shtei Alechem are like the breast from which a child nurses. The Shtei Alechem brings Panosa for the whole year. As the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Dav Tazayin Amar Aleph, Hiviu Lefonai Shtei Alechem Batzeres, bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, Kedei Shizbaruch Lehem Peres Eilin. In order that we will have bracha in our trees all year round. Yahaz, it represents Hoizim Shoichvim, a pasuk in Yeshaya, that unlike all other menachas that are brought that day and eaten that day, the lechem upon him remains on the shulchan a whole week. That pshat, Hoizim Shoichvim, they remain there all week and on the shulchan from one Mishnah, from one week to the next week. Ben Zayma Omer, continue the Mishnah. Ben Zayma Omer, how do we know that the lechem upon him had kanayim? Because the pasuk says, "V'le'asata l'shulchan lechem upon him l'fonai tamid lechem upon him she'elam upon him." That they have a shape, just like a face has a shape. The lechem upon him also have a shape. Hashulchan, what were the dimensions of the shulchan, says the Mishnah? Arkei Asara, the length of the shulchan. The length of the shulchan was 10 tvachim. Rachvai, the width of the shulchan was chamisha, was 5 tvachim. The lechem upon him, and the lechem upon him itself was arkei, was the length 10 tvachim. The rachvai chamisha tvachim. Nosan arkei, you put the length of the lechem upon him, which is 10 tefachim, keneged rochvei shel shulchan, corresponding to the width of the shulchan, which was 5 tefachim. That means the lechem protruded from the shulchan from each side 2.5 tefachim. So what you needed to do, as we've learned previously, was kaifel. They had to bend up the lechem upon him while it was still dough before they baked it. Tfachayim amachz mikan, but tfachayim amachz mikan, 2.5 tfachim from each side of the bread. Nimtza orkoi, and when we have this situation, nimtza orkoi memala rochvei shel shulchan, the length of the lechem fills up the entire width of the shulchan, and that happened on both shulchans. They had two rows, 6 chalas each. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Rabbi Yehuda had the lechem upon him situated in the shulchan. Rameyer says, Rameyer Aymar shulchan orkei shnei masar. The shulchan was 12 tefachim long, v'rochvei shisha, and it was 6 tefachim wide. Orkei asara, lechem upon him, the lechem upon him itself, orkei asara was 10 tefachim wide, v'rochvei chamisha, and was 5 tefachim wide. Nosan orkei kenega rechbe shulchan, we put the length of the lechem towards the width of the shulchan, the kaifel, and because he has the shulchan wider, it isn't necessary to pick it up on each side 2.5 tefachim, kaifel tefachayim mekan, you have 2 tefachim each side, tefachayim revach b'emtza, and we still, according to him, have a space of 2 tefachim between the length of the shulchan, between the two rows, kedei sheruach menashevas behem, that we should have room for the wind to blow, to keep the bread fresh. And even though, as the Tiferes Yisrael points out, there was a nes in the lechem upon him, that it was chan b'yoyim, that it was warm when it was taken out as when it was put in. But we have a rule of ein soim chama nes. We never want to rely on nisim. And because we never want to rely on nisim, even though it remained warm through a nes, they did whatever they can to make sure that the lechem remained warm, the lechem remained fresh by having air below there. Avishal Aymer, shum, in that space that we have between the two rolls of the lechem aponim. We often speak about the two spoons of levoina. He says that was put between these two rolls. That's where we put the two spoons of the lechem aponim. Amrloi freka nemar v'lasata ala marechs levoina zaka. Doesn't that indicate that the levoina should be on top, not next to it? Amlehem harek v'nemar v'ala mat menasha. When the Torah speaks, we spoke about in previous year, about the formation that they walked in the midbar, and the pasuk says deglam machta fram v'tzvasam v'ala mat menasha. So even though normally olav means on top of, here it clearly can't mean on top of. They didn't have one shaved on top of another shaved. It means next to it. Here too, he says that even though the Torah says from the sata l'marechus levoina zaka, it doesn't mean that the levoina was on top. The levoina was next to it. But the way I saw the mafarshim explain this gemara, they explain that it's not to say that olav doesn't mean on top of. Certainly, the taich, the definition of the word of olav, is on top. But it also, when appropriate, means next to. And this is one of those examples. V'arba snifim, they had four boards. Shazav ha'yisham, there were four gold boards. Mufitzolim ha'yisham, they had holes in them. Shayim samch behem, they were put on the sides of the shulchan. Shnayim v'say dezeh, two boards for this table, for this row. Shnayim v'say dezeh, and two for this row. V'esrim shmanim kanim, there were 28 poles. K'chatzi chol kana, they were cut like a half, like a semicircle. Abba also, let's say, deserve 14 for one row of bread. Abba also, let's say, deserve 14 for the other row. Says the Mishnah, lo yisida kanim, not putting in the poles, v'loy netilosam, nor taking them out. Doichas Shabbos, maybe done on Shabbos. Al nichtas me'er of Shabbos, the kayin would already come into the Beis HaMikdash Friday afternoon, the Shomtai, and take out those poles. The Noisna, Larchash HaShulchan, leave it along the length of the Shulchan. And the same, they would put the bread, they would put the Lechem HaPadim on the Shulchan on Shabbos, the new, but even though, as we learned and we're going to learn, that they put these poles in between the breads, they didn't do that on Shabbos, they waited to do that after Shabbos. Kol HaKelim Shoyu B'Migdosh, says the Mishnah, all the various Kelim that they had in the base HaMikdosh, Orkan Lakan Shabbayis, they were always put to the length of the house, to the length of the Bayis, which means it was always put from Mizrach. It was always put from Mizrach to Maariv. The Mishnah taught us that they had all these poles. The purpose of the poles was to keep separation between the bread. And also, as we learned, the bread was, as we learned, it was there to make it, keep them fresh, but we're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because it would involve, as we're going to be learning in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that involves Chil Shabbos, and we always want to avoid Chil Shabbos whenever possible. The Sfasemis points out that even though our Mishnah just said that all of the Kelim and the Mishkan were all put east to west, there was one exception to that. And the Arin was not put east to west, it was put in the other direction. And why doesn't the Mishnah say the Sfasemis make that observation? It says because we know that Chazal teach us that Mokam Arin ain't a min minyan, that if we try to calculate the area of the Mishkan, and we tried to calculate the area of the Mishkan, there was really no room for the Orin and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because of that, Chazal say that it didn't really take up any room. And because of that, it doesn't make a difference for the Mishnah to tell us in what direction it was put, east to west, south to north. It's all immaterial because it's really not taking up physical dimensions. It was all a nace. Our Mishnah also said that the lechem aponim had a shape. The Mishnah described the shape. The Mishnah described the dimensions. There's a very fundamental question in Hilchos Shabbos. If one is allowed to break letters on a cake, on a food, is that considered mechika? Is it considered like erasing letters? And they're really, the shaila, as I understand, is divided into three situations. One is a situation where the food has a where the food itself has a shape, and by breaking that food, we're breaking the shape. That's one example. The next example is not where the food has a shape, but there's in the food, in the cake, letters that are, so to speak, engraved on the food, and you break the cake, you're breaking those letters. And the third example is where you have letters on top of a cake. You have a frosting, icing on top of a cake with letters, happy birthday or whatever. And when you cut the cake, you're breaking the letters. From our Mishnah, it's quite clear that even if there's a shaila in a case where there are letters in as part of the cake, or certainly when letters are written on top of the cake, if that's considered an act of mechika or not. But if the cake itself has a certain shape and you're breaking that shape, that isn't considered mechika. Because otherwise, how could they ever eat? As we know, they would distribute and eat the lechem aponim on Shabbos if the lechem aponim, that cake, has a shape and we're breaking the shape. So we see if we're just breaking the shape of a cake, that's not considered, and that is not considered an act of mechika. The Mishnah said, the lo sida akonim v'lo netiloson doiches haShabbos. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out that the lesson of this is that even though Shabbos is the one day of the week that we don't work, and the rest of the week we work, but the panosa that we have all week, the bracha that we have all week, comes from Shabbos. And that's the lesson of this statement in the Mishnah. Lo sida akonim v'lo netiloson doiches haShabbos. All week long, we're busy setting up the bread. We're busy doing different things to bring panosa, but not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we don't have to do anything to bring panosa. On the contrast, Shabbos brings panosa to the rest of the week. On Musaf, on Shabbos, we say in the parak, in the part of the tefillah of Musaf that begins with the Kanta Shabbos, we learn Tzivisa Purush. We say Tzivisa Purushel Em Sidurei Nechsochsel. What does it mean that on Shabbos, what does it mean when it says Sidurei Nechsochsel? So the Beis Yosef and Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Peivov quotes the Shibboleth HaLeket that says the Sidurei Nechsochsel refers to the setting up of the lechem aponim. And that, as we're learning here, that there was a special way to set up the lechem aponim on Shabbos. So we say, Tzivisa Purushem, Sidur and the Sechel, the way we're supposed to do it, it's supposed to be done in with, as we learned in the Mishnah, with a very special halachas. Begins the Gemara. Kol menachas, we learned in the Mishnah, the Gol menachas, Yesh ben Masa Kli, they're all involved Kli Sharis, and that's why they're made b'vifnim. They're done inside the Azorah. Says the Marshal was Rebbe. They asked Rebbe, Zu, this halacha that we just learned that the menachas require kalim menayin. From where do we know this halacha? Amalem, to which you respond, Harei Oimer, V'yom Elai, Zah Mokam Shivash L'Shama Kahanim, the Malach showed Yecheskel how the next Beis HaMikdash, the Ayis HaShlishi, will look, and he showed him the place where the cooking of the Oshem, the Chatas, and the baking of the Menachas will take place, and it was shown to him that it was done in the Azorah, because if they're going to be not done in the Azara, if they're going to be done outside of the Azara, they're going to become posel because of Yotzei. And the Pasuk connects Mincha to Oshem V'chatas, to teach us. Mincha domi to Oshem V'chatas. Ma'ashem V'chatas to Mkli. The halach is that they have to be cooked in a keli, as the Pasuk says, Ashir Vashlu. Af Mincha nami tuna kli. There was special keli that was supposed to be used to bake the carbon Mincha. And they have to be done in the Azara. So I saw Tosis points out that what kind of mincha are we talking about? We're certainly not talking about the michas machvas and michas macheshes, because they are made in frying pans. Or the halacha of mafet tanner, that they're made in the tanner. We're speaking about the minchas soilus, that the minchas soilus had to be baked, and we're learning that that baking takes place in the base, in the Azara. We learned that the Mishnah Shulchan Orcha Azara, the length of the Shulchan was 10 Tefachim. Amar Rav Yochanan, the Divrei Omer, according to the opinion, Rav Yehuda's opinion, that the Shulchan was 5 Tefachim wide, and that's why the Lechem Arponim had to be bent upwards, Tefai Mechza Kaifel, for 2.5 Tefachim that we bend it up. Nimtza Shulchan Shem Kaddish, Chamisha Asa Tefachim Lamala. And we have 6 Lechem Arponim, so 6 times 2.5 is 15. So we see that the height of the Shulchan is 15 Tefachim. L'divrei Omer, whereas according to the opinion of Rameya, that they bent up the Lechem Tefachim Kaifel, they bent it up 2 Tefachim, Nimtza Shulchan Mekaddish, Shnei Masa Tefachim Lamala, the Shulchan was 12 Tefachim up, tall. Ask the Gemara, but very ikakonim, how can we say there was only 15 Tefachim tall or 12 Tefachim tall when we learned in our Mishnah that there were these konim, that there were these poles that were between the breads? So that should add to the height. Vikakonim answers the Gemara, konim shikui mishakala. The konim went in, there were indentations in the Lechem Aponim that the Konim should fit into. Ask the Gemara, and therefore they didn't take up any more height. Ask them, my Tama, why did they have to put these Konim between the bread? Says the Gemara, Meshimepushe Lechem. There should be room for the bread that shouldn't get moldy. If the bread was one right on top of the other, there's a concern that it might get moldy. Ask the Gemara, but we really haven't accomplished much. Soif soif kamish apish lechem. If the way we're explaining that there were indentations in the bread, and because there were indentations in the bread, so they're right on top of each other, so what we're trying to accomplish is that they shouldn't be on top of each other and get moldy, we haven't accomplished. Answers the Gemara, the Magdalay Purte. They weren't exactly right on top of each other. There was some space in between. So ask the Gemara if that's the case. Vika Uparta. So now we're back again that it isn't just 15 or 12. You have that space. Says the Gemara, since even if you put all those spaces together, Kivan, Dalavit Tefach, they don't amount to a Tefach, Lechoshvala, they're not considered significant, and therefore they're ignored, and we speak about these numbers. But as the Gemara, we spoke about the mezikin, the spoons on which they had the levaina, and weren't they put on top of the shulchan? And if they're put on top of the shulchan, won't that increase the height? Answers the Gemara, they didn't put them on top, they put it between the breads, lebadei lechem havakaimi, and they didn't add to the corner. They didn't add to the height. But ask the Gemara, as we learned in the Mishnah, the Lechem Aponim had kronos, the Lechem Aponim had corners, so what about those corners? Don't they add to the width of the Lechem Aponim? Answers the Gemara, what they did with the corners, after they baked them with the corner, kronos legavei the Lechem Kaiflu. They would fold them over on top of the Lechem, the Lechem Alayim Neichlei, and therefore one Lechem was on top of the other Lechem, and it didn't add anything. The Torah Kedoshah says that the Shulchan had a mezgeres. The mezgeres was a tefach high, which was a frame around the shulchan. So as the Gemara, if that's the case, it raises the height of the shulchan. And as we just said, the height of the mezgeres was a tefach. Answers the Gemara, this man the Omer follows the opinion, command the Omer mezgar to lamata isa, that the frame didn't face upwards, that it would add to the height, it faced downward. As the Gemara, even according to the opinion, the lamata the Omer mezgar to lamata isa, that this frame was facing upwards, prove they have a mahagda. It wasn't straight up, it was leaning outwards, and therefore it didn't take up any height because alechem begave l'shulch Rav Yosef. The lechem was within the frame, and therefore that height of the frame, that tefach height of the frame, did not add to the height of the shulchan. Kiritanya, and the Gemara says, indeed, there's a brisa that supports this. The brisa says, Rav Yosef Omer loyoyo shnifin. They didn't have any supports to support the lechem, that they shouldn't get broken. The frame around the shulchan, says the Gemara, Mamidas lechem was used to support the lechem. Amalai, to which they said, the frame was facing downward, and since it was facing downwards, it didn't serve as any support for the lechem. I saw that the Sefer Teres Yeshua says, as we mentioned a number of times, the shulchan represents ashiris, and the shulchan represents those that support the talmidei chachamim. So we have two categories of people. We have the talmidei chachamim, and we have the people who support the talmidei chachamim. And that's what Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Zayin. Emein kemach ein Torah, emein Torah kemach. And the question is, and that's the two opinions, he says, the Sefer Teres Yeshua and our Gemara. Who is the primary? Is it the people or the mezgeres? The people is mezgat l'mala, is that the people, the shulchan, the taimchei Torah, are the ones that are primary, because emein kemach ein Torah? Or is it the other way, emein Torah im kemach? And then it would be that they are lamata, the ones that are supporting Torah, they're the ones that are on the bottom, the ones on top. The ones on top are the ones who are, the ones that are learning Torah are the primary support to those who are on the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yochan, according to the opinion that we just studied, the Mezgeres was facing downwards, says the Gemara, Tabla Mesechus, if you have a flat piece of wood, the Tameya, the halacha is that Kli Eitz, wood Kalim, are only Mekabel Tuma if it has a receptacle. So even though it doesn't have a receptacle, because just like by the Shulchan, it was saying that the Mezgeres, the frame, was facing downwards, but it's Mekabel Tuma because it could be used like a table. But according to Mandoma, Mezgar to Lamal, I saw that the Mezgeres was facing upward, so therefore we could understand why it's Mekabel Tuma. The reason that it's Mekabel Tuma is because I had a frame around it, so it has a receptacle. But what will be, it will have something like a table, a plate, made out of wood, that's not a receptacle, then it will still be a question. Tabla mespachas, tibayalach, will still be a question, and it's Mekabel Tuma. But says the Gemara, the entire premise of what we just discussed is based on saying the Shulchan bar kibuli tuma. The Shulchan is a place that can be Mekabel Tuma. But ask the Gemara, why? Isn't the Shulchan creates Ha'osi L'Nachasi? It's a wooden keli that's stationary. And the halacha is that kol eitz ha'osu l'nachas, a stationary wooden keli, ain't makabel tumah. It's not makabel tumah. Why is that the reason? Because when the Torah speaks about a kli eitz, my tama, when the Torah speaks about a kli eitz being makabel tumah, dumi the sak binan. It compares it to a bag. The word of the Torah, mikol kli eitz, a beggar, or a sak. Mas sak, when we speak about a bag, it's something that's matat malay vereken, that's always movable. The only time a kli eitz is makabel tumah is matat malay vereken, if it's always movable. But the shulchan, asked the Gemara, is something that's not movable. And if something that's not movable, so it shouldn't be makabel tumah. So we're trying to learn the halachas of kabbalas tumah from the shulchan, but the shulchan is not something, asked the Gemara, that's makabel tumah. The Tosfos points out, as we discussed in our previous year, that how can we say that the shulchan is a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas? We just discussed yesterday that they were moving in the midbar. So if they were moving in the midbar, the shulchan wasn't stationary. So why are we saying that the shulchan is stationary? Answers Tosfos that when they were moving in the midbar, as we discussed in the from the pasuk yesterday's shir, where the pasuk says kashiyachnu, can you sow? Wherever they moved because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they should move. The Shekhinah moved along with them. That's not called something that's moving. It's called the entire structure is moving, but it's not really considered an act of moving. So the question that the Gemara is asking, that this is a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas, is still appropriate. But says the Gemara, shulchan nami betatl malavarekin. The shulchan was moved even when it was under different circumstances. To come Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish taught us, Amar Reish Lakish, Maidik Siv, the Pasuk, speaking about the shulchan, says al shulchan atar, tar, if the Torah calls it tar, mechlal dika tamei, it's tamei, ela melamed, that can be makabel tumah. Why, how? Says the Gemara, when Klai Yisrael came up to Eilu Regal, they would lift up the Shulchan, or Marban Lechem, and would show the Lechem to everybody, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Amokim. It would be a way to demonstrate how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Kedivri Rabbi Shuvah ben Levi, as Rabbi Shuvah ben Levi taught us, Dar Rabbi Shuvah ben Levi, Nes Godel Nas B'Lechem upon him. There was an incredible Nes with the Lechem upon him. Saluka, Sidura. When they took out the lechem upon him from the shulchan, it was the same when we put it in. Shnemar, it was still warm. Shnemar losum lechem cham b'yom elochai, it was still warm. And they would show this every yontif when Klai Yisrael came up to be oil regal. This they would show up. There's different opinions. How did they show it? Some say they opened up the door of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would, all those who were standing in the Azara would see as they lifted the lechem upon him, and they saw that bread. The Ratva says that they took out the whole shulchan to the Azara, and in the Azara, all the people were able to see, who were in the Azara, were able to see what was doing in the Azara, the lechem upon him. The question, of course, is how could, just because they saw the bread, how do they know that that bread is warm, like the Gemara just said, that it's warm when you're taking it out, like when you're putting it in? How do you know the bread is warm? So they say there was smoke rising from the bread. And that smoke rising a week later after the bread was baked is an indication of the beauty of what they did. It's very interesting. The Rabbi Gedalia Shor and the Sefer Or Gedalia quotes the Chart Kvar Rebbe, and he says that the minig was that they used to call Shabbos after Shavuos Shabbos Noch Shavuos. They made a special point of indicating that Shabbos was the Shabbos after Yom Teshuvos. And the Chart Kvar Rebbe asked, Why don't they say the same about Shabbos after Pesach or Shabbos after Sukkot? So he explains that which day of the week did they show Klal Yisrael the Lechem upon him and the greatness of the Lechem upon him? He said it was always shown on Shabbos, because as we're learning in our Shiurim, Shabbos was the day that they showed off the Lechem upon him. So he explains, when we speak about Sukkot, when we speak about Pesach, it's inevitable that during Pesach or Sukkot, there has to be a Shabbos, one of the days of Yontif. It may not be Yontif, it may be Shabbos Chol HaMoed, but in the week, there's going to be a Shabbos Chol, there's going to be a Shabbos, and that was the day that they showed this off. But then he says, that's not necessarily the case on Shavuos. Shavuos, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, is a one-day Yontif. So if Shavuos wasn't on Shabbos, how would the people during that regal see this? So he explains that we know that Sukkot, that Shavuos has Tashlumim, because not everybody could bring, not all of Klal Yisrael who came to be oil regal for Shavuos brought all, had an opportunity to bring their kabbonis during the Yontif. So they brought it for the following days. So they did it. So there was always a Shabbos after Shavuos. So if Shavuos fell on Shabbos, so that was the day they showed off the Lechem upon him. But if Shavuos didn't fall on Shabbos, so they showed off the Lechem upon him, the Shabbos after Shavuos. So that makes that Shabbos, Shabbos noch Shavuos, Shabbos after Shavuos is very significant, because that was the day they would show off the Lechem upon him if Shavuos didn't fall on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, but the Pasuk keeps on talking about the Shulchan. But we know that the Shulchan was coated in gold. So ask the Gemara, the Tepek Mishum Tzipui, since it was covered in gold, so it should be considered like a metal keli. And the halacha is that a metal keli doesn't have all these limitations and is makabel tumah. The Miloy Tanan, and the Gemara points out that we look at the coating. The Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Perich HaBeis Mishnah Aleph teaches us a Shulchan v'Dolfiki. Shulchan is a table, Dufki is a type of table that's made out of leather, Shenifchasu, that became rubbed out, or Shechifim B'Shayis, or they covered it in marble, which is not Mekabel Tumah, V'Shay Behen, but there's a place that didn't get a hole, that has Makam and Nachas Kaisis, enough room where you could put a cup, Tameim. And just because they're covered with a material that is not Mekabel Tumah, they will still be Mekabel Tumah. Yehuda Omer, Makam Chaniches Chatiches. Only if the place left over is large enough to put up a piece of meat, a piece of fish. Points out the Gemara Shire, only if you didn't have the spot that's covered in, then the Shulchan is tar or not. The Loi Shire, but if it doesn't have that amount, loy. So we see that if it's covered, we follow the covering. The chitaima, if you want to say, so if the shulchan is covered in gold, it should be considered a metal keli. The chitaima, and if you're going to want to argue, kambit sipri oimid, that we're going to want to differentiate between something where the covering is attached with nails, kambit sipri she'ena oimid, where it's not attached with nail. But ask the Gemara, when we speak about that Mishnah, does there have to be something that was permanently, the coating was permanently attached or not? If we covered up the frame, and he answered, there's no difference. It doesn't make a difference if the frame got covered. So says the Gemara. And if you're going to tell me the shulchan that was made out of atzishitim, which is a very expensive wood, are very significant, and therefore, even though they were covered with gold, the gold is insignificant. Says the Gemara, Nichlor Shlok Shtoma, Loishnel Bekli Echsalgus Habudon Medin Sayam. Only wood that comes from Din Sayam, that the wood is not an expensive wood. Avakli Mismas. but kalim that are made out of expensive wood. Chshivi, always chashiv, and the coating is not bottle, shapir. So we'll say that the wood that the shulchan was made out of is a very expensive wood, and we ignore the gold covering. El Rabbi Yochanan, Miklimis, Nami Batli. It doesn't make a difference what type of wood. We always look at the coating, and if the coating is metal, then the keli gets the din, a metal. So we're back to where we started. My Kilameimer Shani answers the Gemara. So why is the Shulchan not Mekabel Tumah because of the gold plating? Answers the Gemara. Shani Shulchan, the Rechmana Kari Eitz. We can't bring a raya from the Shulchan. The Tarek Doshe calls it Eitz. Shnemar, the Pasuk in Yecheskel that describes the Shulchan, says, Hamizbeach Eitz, Shalosh Ames Kvaya, Orkesh Dayamais, Umektsoyes Loi. It was a square. Vark of the Kareisa eights. Yidaba Eli says the Gemara says Shulchan a shelf near Hashem. Where Tosig is talking about the Shulchan, and even though it was covered with gold, it's still called eights, and therefore it has all the dinim and has all the rules of a kli eights.